Today on Real Radio.
From the inside out, God has been changing you. You've come to Christ, and now he's beginning this process. It's absolutely awesome. It continues all the way through our lives. Christians, listen, we need to cut our brothers and sisters in Christ a big slice of grace. You understand that? If we begin to look at one another and expect for them to walk on water and to do all these things as though they were physically Jesus standing there, you're going to be severely disappointed. We are all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and not one of us have arrived. And the person who's saying, well, Pastor, I don't know about you, but you are the most messed up. You're the furthest one away. But can you not say now in your life you have grown?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 13, where we learn of Samson. The name of this series is Staying Fit for the Master's Use. Now, we're not speaking of being physically fit, but spiritually and scripturally fit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I hate to burst your bubble and freak you out, but listen, war, God sanctions war. He doesn't want anybody to go to war, but when wars begin, God wrote in the Bible, there's going to be wars. Until the Prince of Peace comes back, there's going to be war. You can be sitting here and have, and look, you could be a little peacenik, you got your flowers and your little tie-dye outfit on, and we're just singing Kumbaya, and that's great. Somebody could come by wanting to kill you. That happens because men's hearts are evil. Okay, that happens. That's why the doctrine of appeasement never works. And in this situation, the Philistines are Israel's enemies. And God raised up Samson to deliver them from that tyranny. It's war. Here's a quiz for you. According to God, not us, according to God, if there's a U.S. Marine in Iraq and he shoots an enemy combatant or an enemy soldier, is that killing or is it murder, according to the Bible? It's killing. The Bible says, Ten Commandments, the Lord says, you shall not murder. Killing is not murder. You say, well, are you giving me an option here, Pastor Chan? No, no options. I'm just telling you that murder is wrong. But in war, God understands in this evil world, nations will go to war with each other, and there's tribal warfare that takes place. And it's not considered murder. It's killing. In the name of warfare. Interesting, huh? The amazing practicality of God's word is impressive. And of course, listen, though God sanctions war, there's a day coming when the Prince of Peace will come and he'll set an end to all of that. And that's going to be a great day. And so, verse 16, you got to love this guy. Samson says, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. He loves riddles and he loves little rhymes. He was a great, tremendous warrior with a word puzzle in his back pocket. He just loved words and he puts these things together. And verse 17, and so it was when he had finished speaking that, watch this, this is cool. He threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramah-Leah. Or Ramah-Lehi. It means this, the valley, there's a few translations. It is the place of the jawbone or the valley of the indentation arch. A reference to in this place, he grabs that jawbone and he throws it, and with it, he names the spot. And by the way, that spot has been referenced up to explorers and discoverers as most recent as the 12th century. It was a place that was marked on a map in Israel. So that's pretty interesting stuff. And so it says, and then verse 18, then he became very thirsty, so he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance to the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called its name, well, here's what the name means, the spring of the caller. The one who cries out, he gave a spring, which is in Lehi to this day, and he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. What do we learn from this? Being used by God. Listen, how is it that God uses people that are imperfect? God uses Samson. Does he not have his flaws? Of course. Do you and I not have our flaws? Does God still want to use us? Are we worthy to be used by God? What makes us somehow acceptable to be used by God? If God can use this man with all of the weirdness and the things that go on with him, he seems to be a real free-spirited kind of guy. He's got it in for the girls, but he's got a hot temper also. And can God use this guy? Oh, listen, mark a few things down. Number one, it is this. Lesson 8, being used by God. How can God use me? How can God use you? Jot that down. Tune in. You and I struggle with a sense of unworthiness. Every one of us, we struggle with this. There's no one in this room. There's no one listening that does not struggle with a sense of being unworthy. So how can God use us? He makes us worthy. If you're listening, he makes us worthy. I don't mean listening to me. When you listen to God, listen to what his word says. He makes you and I worthy. Then that doesn't make you and I great. We shouldn't walk around saying, "I'm worthy, I'm worthy." But in that same spirit, Paul the Apostle said, "I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry," Paul said. Was Paul patting himself on the back? No. Paul was saying, God put it in me to be faithful to the ministry. Now, all of a sudden, we all have hope. How can God use me? How can God use us? It's the Lord that declares us usable. He's the one that declares us worthy. And if you and I believe what the Bible has to say, here tonight could possibly be a great turning point in our walk with God. Because if you and I let our own perceptions and our failing and our shortcomings keep us from being used by God, we will always walk around thinking or saying, "How can God use me? Woe is me." Wait a minute. God used Samson. In Genesis 18, 27, the Bible says, "Then Abraham answered the Lord and said, 'Indeed now, I who am as dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to call out to the Lord.'" I love that verse. Mark it. Genesis 18, 27. Abraham said, "I'm nothing but ashes and dust, yet I have determined to call out to God." We need to teach this to our kids. We need to remember that God made us. My friend, you and I are breathing right now. You and I have life right now. There's a reason and a purpose to our lives. What should we be doing? Even though we are ashes and dust of this earth, what is our strength? To call out to God. Samson called out to the Lord in the valley there of the spring. And God hears us when we call to him. He wants to hear us. When we are, as I mentioned earlier, converted, changed, we come to Christ, there is first an internal change. It happens on the inside first, like a seed. When we come to Christ, the moment we make that decision, something happens on the inside. And what God begins to do, as you spend more time in the Bible, you spend more time around Christians, and in that process, I don't need to go into it, but for very quickly in this sense, where your old friends now, you don't seem to have much fun with your old friends anymore, remember that? And maybe you got drunk every Friday night, and now you gave your heart to Christ, and then you know your friends say, come on, let's go drink. So you go, okay, I guess maybe, I don't know, and you go with them, and they say, here's your beer, or here's whatever you do, and you can even take a sip of it, and it's like, it doesn't taste the same. Something's different. Hey, come on, let's go to that place. And there's a real sense of absolute not belonging anymore. Where are we going? You know, we always go to that place, and you don't want to do that anymore. What has happened to you? From the inside out, God has been changing you. You've come to Christ, and now he's beginning this process. It's absolutely awesome. It continues all the way through our lives. Christians, listen, we need to cut our brothers and sisters in Christ a big slice of grace. You understand that? If we begin to look at one another and expect for them to walk on water and to do all these things as though they were physically Jesus standing there, you're going to be severely disappointed. We are all growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and not one of us have arrived. And the person who's saying, well, Pastor, I don't know about you, but you are the most messed up. You're the furthest one away. Truly. But can you not say now in your life you have grown? God is at work. How can God use me? He's already using you. We have always prayed at this church, God, use us mightily, but don't let us know that we're being used. You know why? Hey, God's using us mightily. Wow. And then you're done. How can God use me? How can God use us? Here's some examples. Get ready to write these down. I love it. It's fun. God changes our lives, and this is what it sounds like. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6. As Paul journeyed, Saul at the time, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, I love it. Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. It's hard for you to kick against the board that's got nails in it, Paul. You're going to get bloody doing that. You're going to hurt yourself. Verse 6, so Saul, he, trembling and astonished, said, and here it is, Lord, what do you want me to do? I love that. How can God use me? How can God use you? How can God use us? He visits our lives and begins to change us. And Paul, in a matter of seconds, says, what do you want me to do, Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. This is what happens. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, he goes from one who is a persecuting terrorist against Christians to being converted to Christ, and now he's announcing that he's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ through the will of God. That's what God does in our lives. You see, Jack, I wish that was true in my life. It is true in your life if you're listening. I wish we could just stop the clock and there would be no sense of time and we could all go around this room and just talk about this. The things that would be accomplished, the stories that could be told, and many stories need to be defeated. They need to be put to bed or buried because they don't have any power over you. When you realize that God has called you, he began a work in you, and one of the things, as Paul said, I've been called to be an apostle. That is, God called me to plant churches all over the world, Paul is saying. And he did that through the will of God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, listen to this, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Okay, now wait a minute, Paul. How can you be so sure about what you're doing in this life? Well, you know the one who raised Jesus from the dead? Yeah, he's the one who called me. Isn't that great? I'd like to have that on a card. Can I have your card? You know, the one who raised Jesus from the dead is the same one that works in you and I. You either believe that tonight or you don't believe that. If you believe it, you know what? You are going to be used by God. You'll be the one most shocked and most blown away. How could that have happened? I can't believe it. People might even come up to you and slap you on the back, and you're thinking, what, are they nuts? How could this have happened? Because God does it. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Bondservants. It sounded better earlier. He was an apostle, then he became a bondservant. The word bondservant here, doulos, is a willful, voluntary slave. Listen to this. It's a qualified slave, one who wills to be under the control of their master. The word implies that once you have lived your 7 years of slavery to your master says, well, now you're free to go. Here's your papers, you're free. And a doulos, bondservant, says, I don't want to be free. I love you as my master. I don't want to go. Well, then there's only one thing that we do with you. And this is what they did. There's only one thing that we do. And they would take him out to a post, and they would grab him by the ear, and they would put his earlobe against the post, and the master would take a metal, like a nail, and a hammer, and give him an earring right there. Bam! And that mark meant that I am a willful slave to my master. I don't want to go anywhere. Do you see how that translates into the Christian life? If you understand what the Lord has in store for you, what God wants to do in your life, I don't want to make decisions. I don't want to go where my feet think they want to go. I don't want to do what I want to do, because though I want to do that externally, you learn after a period of time that what I embark on is bloody. It's dangerous. It hurts. It's painful. It's shipwrecked. But when the Lord is in control, when I say, Lord, I am a willful slave, I submit to your leadership, I submit to you being the controller of my life, then God says, all right, I can do something with that. See, the level of you and I being used, how can God use me? Well, the question is, well, how much and how deep are you surrendered? And this is the great, amazing thing regarding our Christian faith. We willfully surrender out of a heart of joy. You guys all know that the word Islam means to submit. It's a militant term, submit. And the world is to be brought under the sword of Islam, Allah, right? Submit by fear, if necessary, submit. God, listen, God doesn't work that way. It's all about love, to the point where God is not saying, submit to me. God treats you so good that when he says, well, you can go free. When you know him, you say, I don't want to go free. I want to be with you. You remember when the demoniac was in the tombs cutting himself and breaking chains, and he was crazy possessed, and Jesus got out of the boat, and he came, and he was foaming at the mouth and freaking out, and remember when Jesus cast the demon out of that demoniac and he says, Lord, let me follow you everywhere. And Jesus said, no. You're going to go home and you're going to tell people what great things God's done for you. And that guy went home to the Decapolis. For those of you who have been with us to Beth Chin, that's one of the cities of the Decapolis. Through that one man's conversion, those 10 Decapolis, 10 cities, the Bible teaches us came to Christ. Now look, I don't see any of you naked, cutting yourself with chains and foaming at the mouth. So there's hope for us to be used by God. See, our excuses don't work. Oh, but I don't know. How can he use me? He can use you. Jude chapter 1. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Wow. You either belong to Jude 1 or you don't. And I say you do if you trust Christ. James 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. That almost sounds like a, ladies and gentlemen, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, the apostle Paul. I mean, that's awesome. It's incredible. How can God use me? How can God use you? Easy, if we're just listening. Listen, secondly under this, being used by God, why would God use me? Why would God use you? Why would God use us? Well, listen, first of all, we struggle with approval, don't we? Don't we? Yes. Now, some people, depends on how you're wired, we all receive approval somehow. For those of you who grew up in a certain way, you respond to acknowledgement, approval, verbal approval. You did a great job. And that's all you need. It's like, yes. Oh. And you can go another 10 miles. We've all seen that, right? We've seen that. It's awesome. It's amazing. Then there are others who the job is complete and somebody says, that looks great. And maybe you're like an artist. Maybe you're a Kincaid or a Monet, and you paint it, and you're standing there and looking at it. People start to gather around. They don't know who painted it. Everyone's looking at it. And now you begin to wonder, I wonder what they're thinking. And somebody says, that's the most wonderful painting I've ever seen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Staying Fit for the Master's Use. It's actually a 10-part mini-series taken from the 13th chapter of the Old Testament book of Judges, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, speaking of Real Radio, here's Pastor Jack Hibbs himself with a very important message to every listener of Real Radio. Pastor Jack?
That's right, Mike. Thank you. Yeah, hi, this is Pastor Jack, and I just want to encourage you right now. Every year, radio stations evaluate their effectiveness, and so do the programs, just like Real Radio. And it's that time of the year where if you are blessed by this program, if we are bringing you the Word of God and it's making a difference in your life, this is what we need you to do. We need you to contact the station that you listen to us on right there in your car or in your home. You contact them and let them know, I listen to Real Radio. At whatever time slot it is in the region that you're at, in the city, in the town that you're in, let them know that. Those programmers, those radio channels, they want to do what's best for the time that they have. They want to hear from you. Let them know, I listen to Real Radio with Pastor Jack on this channel. Listen, that's what we're asking for you to do. We'll keep bringing you the Word of God. We just need to be on your channel, in your community. And that's how it happens. Let the station know that you're listening, and we'll keep talking to you and with you. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Okay, well, visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number's toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. As well, you can always send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. Amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.